bike's sputtering on me.
That's not what you want on a cross-country trip.
Yeah, you're telling me. Looks like my journey ends here.
No, mate. You ride with Geico Motorcycle Insurance and got their 24/7 emergency roadside service. They'll fix your bike right up. Where you headed, anyways?
Oh, I'm going to Cromhenge. You ever been?
No, I can't say I have.
It's like Stonehenge, but shiny.
It feels good to ride with help. It feels good to Geico. Emergency roadside service is optional coverage.
A few weeks later, she wouldn't stop complaining about not having a venue for her bridal shower. She knew my parents lived on a one-acre property, and she dropped a hint after hint after hint until I was uncomfortable. She said, I finally offered to ask my parents, and they, being lovely, said yes. She was elated and even told me, you're welcome to invite your family to the party at their own house. Can you imagine saying that to somebody?
Your parents, out of the goodness of my heart, don't have to flee their home.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Here Comes the Drama. I'm your host, Krista Innes. And starting off today, I want to ask you guys a question just to set the scene, get the mood right. How would you feel if someone you had trusted, someone you had known for over 17 years and asked to be a part of your wedding day, if you found out that they conned you, how would you feel? Because that's exactly what happened to today's guest. I have Jubilee Dawn here, and she's going to share her own wedding story of how her maid of honor, who she knew for over 17 years, conned her on her wedding day. And it is just a very shocking story. Jaws were dropped many times. I couldn't contain what I was feeling inside. I'm going to have her tell her story. Starting off, we're just going to jump right into it because it is very drama-filled, very shocking, and a lot of details you want to pay attention to. Of course, in addition to that, we are going to share some red flag, green flag kind of scenarios. And then, of course, a wild wedding story from one of my followers here. So we're going to get into it today. Enjoy this very detailed, very shocking episode. So without further ado, here's that very wild episode. Enjoy. Hi, Jubilee. Thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
I'm so excited to have you on. I follow your content pretty regularly, and someone had sent me your wild maid of honor story. But before we get to that, I want you just to introduce yourself, talk about what you share on social media, all that good stuff, and then we'll get into your wild story.
Yeah, I'm Jubilee Dawn. I share on TikTok and Instagram, and I have two podcasts, and I share a lot about religious deconstruction. So I talk a lot about purity culture, crazy youth pastor stories, and then also I've done many story times about the maid of honor situation. So,
okay, I love it.
All healing stuff.
Okay, so what are your two podcasts, and how do you find the time to do two podcasts? I'm like, with one, I'm just like, oh my God, this is a lot sometimes.
I honestly don't even know how I'm doing it. I just went part-time, thank goodness, because I still have a job
okay.
On top of doing content. But my podcast that I do, like my main podcast, I would say is Healed-ish, and that's where I do any survivor stories. And yeah, I have an editor, so that helps for that one. And then my other podcast is The Overshare Hour, and on that one, we do advice. So it's an advice column podcast, and it's with my best friend. We both joined religious cults at the age of 17 and 18, and she actually married my brother, and they have since divorced, but her and I are still best friends. So,
wow.
Yeah. She's also a content creator. So we have a lot of fun on that one as well. And then we like switch off editing those. But yes, I feel very busy.
I love that. So were you guys friends before she married your brother, or that kind of made you guys connect?
I knew her from youth group. So I met her when I was 14 and I think she was 15, and she started to date my brother, but we became friends through their relationship. So they were together for about 10 years and she is the mother to my two nieces. So, I mean, she's family.
She's always involved. Yes. Yeah. She'll always be there. I love that. I love when you like get connected through marriage, whether it works out or not. And then you just like find your person and you're like your best friend. So that's awesome that you have that outlet to be able to like give advice and share stories. I love that you're using your platform for that because it's such an important thing to highlight. So many people have stories of youth group or how they grew up, I guess you want to say. But yeah, I think it's really important.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm always shocked by the stories. So that's like one of the main things I do is just read stories, and they're wild. So that's why I love what you do here too. I'm obsessed with wild stories.
I don't feel like we can relate. It's funny because people will comment on these stories that I share on YouTube. And, you know, of course, like there's no way to triple check, like if everything's 100% true, right? It's through the eyes of the person that sent it to me. But I'll get comments sometimes and people are like, there's no way this can be real. This sounds made up. And I'm like, maybe part is exaggerated. We don't really know. But the fact of the matter is these things happen. And if we don't allow people to share their stories, then it creates an unsafe space. So I feel like opening the doors up to be like, hey, this happened to me, and it allows other people to share their stories, to relate, or be like, wow, that was really weird because someone did that to me too. And now I can stand up for myself. And I think there's so much power in storytelling.
No, absolutely. And I get comments like that too, where people will be like, there's no way these stories are real. And I'm like, well, go to the comments and see the five other people that said that the exact same thing happened in their church or wherever they grew up. I mean, no, it's real for sure. Yes. Crazy things do happen.
It's so wild. So jumping into wild stories, you, and this is like the first time I think I saw your content was when you were talking about your maid of honor conned you at your own wedding, which is just shocking in that sentence alone. So let's just dive in. What happened? And I'll probably just ask questions along the way because this is just shocking for many people to like comprehend.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of questions that people have when I say that is, oh, she must have been someone new in your life. Because, you know, sometimes you hit it off with somebody and you ask them to be in your wedding after like a year, you know, that was not the case. So I was actually close with her for 17 years. And
17. Wow.
Yeah. So we became best friends when I was 12 and she was 19, which is weird in hindsight. But at the time, I just thought I was mature for my age. And basically, we're connected. I try to be vague because I just try to be vague about how I know her. But
yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I knew her for 17 years. She was always my best friend. I am divorced. So I also got divorced because of a Walt Disney World burger. That's like another crazy story.
Because of a Walt Disney burger?
Yes, my ex, he was very abusive and okay. He got very mad when I shared a bite of my burger with my cousin at Disney World. And I didn't even give him the burger to bite. I took a fork and gave him a bite of it. And my ex said that that was disrespectful to him as the man at the table. It was so crazy.
Was this the first red flag or the final red flag?
The final red flag. And thankfully, I think it made me address the situation for the first time because family members witnessed it. And he ended up threatening to strand me in Florida. And it was like a huge fight in the middle of Disney World. Like those viral videos that you see of people fighting in Disney, it's like so cringy. That was absolutely the case.
Oh my God.
So yeah, after he was abusive after that, I finally ended up leaving. So this best friend who I call Crystal, she was my maid of honor for that wedding as well. So I just really didn't think that there was anything I needed to be worried about with her. Obviously, after 17 years, you really think you know someone. But all of that to say, on the wedding day, there was a situation where her husband had said, I want to be the bartender for the wedding. He said, this will be our gift to you. I really want to bartend, because he was like a very big drinker and he was always making drinks. And it was also going to be at a family member's house. So it's not like we were at a venue. It was at my grandma's house.
Right.
So as the night is going on, he had told me how much alcohol to buy. And it seemed like the right amount of alcohol. I mean, I bought a lot of wine, a lot of tequila, and it wasn't a huge wedding. It was maybe 80 people. So throughout the night, my maid of honor, Crystal, ended up coming up to me and she was like, hey, I'm so sorry, but we are running out of alcohol. There is no more alcohol left and I can send my husband to go get some more. And I was like, oh, well, yeah, definitely. Like, go and do that. Thank you so much. I so appreciate that you guys are willing to go and do that, because it was on New Year's Eve too. I wasn't even sure what would be open.
Right. Know?
So yeah, I told them that I would reimburse them for whatever they spent on this alcohol. So he came back, he had all of the alcohol and it was great. I had a great time on the wedding day and I didn't know that anything weird had happened. So the next day we are at the airport on the way to our honeymoon and I get this text from her and she said, hey, I just wanted to let you know you owe us $373, I think it was. And That surprised me that it was that much because I knew I had bought so much alcohol for this wedding, but I was like, okay, sure. I don't know. What do you think about this? Like texting the day after the wedding? I feel like personally, I wouldn't have
sending
me the money.
Yes, that's like their time. I feel like I wouldn't bother the couple right after the wedding.
Right. I know. And I'm like very good about paying people back. So, I mean, I probably would have texted her on my own, but I think if it was just that, it wouldn't have mattered. But given everything I know, I feel like that was odd. So I ended up Venmoing her husband the money. We went on our honeymoon. It was great. And when I came back, I was working for a family business. And one of the things that my family had delegated to me was just to pay this family member who had dementia, pay their mortgage. So on top of that, I was also supposed to somewhat look at the credit card statements just to make sure the balance didn't get too high. Mm-hmm. I wasn't told to look through it or verify purchases or anything like that. They just said, make sure that it doesn't get too high to the credit limit.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going through it and I noticed that the balance seemed kind of high that month. I was like, okay, well, let me look at what is on here. So as I'm looking over this family member's bill, I see that there was an alcohol charge on our wedding day for $373. And that is the exact amount that I had paid my maid of honor. And I was like, wait, that doesn't make any sense because I reimbursed her husband, but it looks like, I mean, there's like my family member with dementia, they do not drive. They did not go buy this alcohol themselves. Right. Obviously, someone took their card.
Mm-hmm.
And people would often use this person's card to go pick up their groceries and stuff like that. So it would not be outside of the realm of possibility that Crystal or her husband would have known where the card was to find this card. Mm-hmm. Because there was just a lot of trust in these circles that people would do the right thing.
Yeah, like here, take my card and get groceries or yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Because I mean, they were relying on people to take care of them and pay their bills. And we all kind of had our own responsibilities. So mine was the mortgage and that, but all sorts of people were helping with their care. So I was really confused about that. And I ended up going and speaking with another family member, the one who had tasked me with going through the sheet. And that is when he ended up going through their checkbook, the family member's who has dementia's checkbook, and seeing that a check was written the day after the wedding for $500. And in the memo line, it said wedding alcohol.
So there's another check.
Another check.
Oh,
for wedding alcohol. And I'm like, wait, what? Why would they have? And it was to my maid of honor's husband.
It was directly to him.
Yes.
Yeah. Did they know? Sorry if this is jumping the gun, but did they know this couple that you managed or like looked at this person's money? They didn't think you would ever see it.
I don't think that they knew that I was getting the statements. No, I think they knew that I helped a bit with the family. I would coordinate the lawnmower to go out there and take care of their home. But I don't think that they knew that I had access to these statements. And then they definitely didn't know that I would go and talk to another family member and be able to see that this check was written to Crystal's husband.
And what was their connection, Crystal and her husband, to this family member? Anything or just they just knew them through you?
I try to be vague.
Okay.
Yeah. But you can put two and two together.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
Yeah. So I was kind of very confused at that point because I did not know how else to see it because it very much seemed like they had gotten reimbursed for something that they didn't pay for.
Mm-hmm.
So I ended up texting her and I said, hey, this is what I found. Can you help me understand what this is? Mm-hmm. And she ended up freaking out. She started blowing up my phone. How dare you? After everything I have done for you, after everything I have done for this wedding, how dare you question me, essentially? And you think we need money? We don't need money. You think that we care enough about $300 to do something like this? And I kept asking her, but you're not explaining.
Yeah, why are you so defensive?
You're very defensive and you're also not explaining how that happened. So it was just this big blow up fight. And then all of a sudden I get a Venmo from her husband and he sent me $500 over Venmo.
Oh, so he took it. Because if you're not guilty, you're not going to send it back.
Which I'm like, I never even gave him the 500, but I think he was just trying to make a point. So he ended up sending it and was like, here, here's this money. How dare you? You're horrible. And he was just very mad that I would dare question them. So at that point, I was just fuming and I don't want their money at this point because I'm like, oh, this is just gross. I don't understand what's going on. So I Venmo'd him the $500 back and then I blocked him on Venmo so that he wouldn't keep sending me money. They did end up paying me back a little bit later on, which I'll get to. But yeah, I was very confused by that. And I started to talk to other family members to see what they thought. And some people who were closer to her were kind of defensive and they didn't want to see and they didn't want to hear about it. And that was strange to me that they were not interested in looking at the facts. Because I said, if you guys have another way to see it, let me know, because I just don't know how else to take this other than it seems like they kind of scammed to get money. And one thing that she did say was that he had used some of his personal alcohol on the wedding day. I never asked them to do that though, ever. So basically he said, well, I used some of my personal alcohol and that's why she gave me $500. So
a lot of alcohol to like, yeah.
Yeah. And there was only maybe 80 people there. A lot of people, it was a New Year's Eve wedding. A lot of people didn't stay till midnight. And a lot of my family members don't drink. And also there were a lot of children at this wedding. So it's not like we were dealing with a ton of heavy, like 80 heavy drinkers. That's not what the situation was. So later on, I ended up finding that there were over 15 bottles of unopened wine, which is insane, at my family member's house. It was in the pantry. And I don't know, because she had told me that we had run out of alcohol. So I said, hey, we didn't even run out of alcohol. Why did you send people off? And she said, well, people didn't want that alcohol. And I kind of get that. But I also feel like we're not rich. And I do think that sometimes at weddings, you know, you see people, they'll just have red wine, white wine, and beer. And there was tons of beer and wine left over. So it's almost like, well, we just, in theory, I don't even know if this is true, we ran out of tequila and then he wanted to go buy $370 worth of other alcohol. I wish they would have asked me and said, hey, we only have wine left. Do you want us to go get more liquor or should we just tell the guests that there's wine and beer? But anyway, I mean, it wouldn't have mattered that much if it wasn't for the scam.
Yeah. So it's like they wanted you to reimburse them for money they put on someone else's credit card in addition to another $500. So we're talking over $1,100 now, if I'm doing the quick math, right? Because everything was added up and they didn't actually pay out of pocket for anything.
Yeah, exactly. They didn't pay out of pocket for anything. So this whole thing blew up. And then this is when things got really crazy. One of the family members who worked at the business who found the $500 payment, I was just in shock and reeling and didn't know how to handle this and was kind of just wondering. I mean, this is my best friend in theory, and this is my wedding day. I can't imagine that she would do this. And that is when he decided to let me in on the fact that this was not the first time that something like this had happened with Crystal.
Oh.
And it had gotten buried. So basically, there was a time where I was living in Atlanta with my ex, and I was not around the family during the time that this all blew up. But basically, Crystal had been living with this family member with dementia, and she had been taking care of her along with her husband, and they were living in the house. But my family members, they were very wealthy, you know, so it's not like they were suffering. They're living in this giant mansion rent-free and taking care of them, which really just meant, I don't know, bringing them takeout sometimes, you know, it wasn't that hard of a job. And apparently during a span of maybe three to four years, they had spent around $300,000 to $400,000 of my family members' money. I know it's absolute insanity. And okay, to this day, when I confronted Crystal about all of this, she says, well, they wanted me to spend it. They wanted me to spend this money. They told me to go buy whatever I wanted. And absolutely not. There's no way. But on top of that, she had drained every single one of their bank accounts. So my family member had had a good amount of money. And I mean, Crystal absolutely knew what she was doing because she would take every account to zero. And then we have record that the checks were bouncing. And then she would switch to the next account.
What?
The next account. And during this time, she was going on extravagant trips. They were going on cruises. They were going to DC doing whale watching. He was getting new tires on his car. They even used my family member's card to pay around $7,000 in taxes to the IRS.
Oh my God.
I know. And the thing that I'm like, this is nail in the coffin. The same day that they put those taxes on the card, they also got a check for almost the exact same amount from the family member. So they got paid for it twice. And I guarantee what happened was Crystal went to this person and said, oh, we owe this money. I'm so stressed. Would you please pay it? And so not only did she kind of like manipulate somebody who has dementia, she ended up actually putting it on the card and then taking the check and making money off of that.
Wild.
Yeah, it was horrible. So the reason I didn't find out about this was there was a huge blow up where it caused a lot of drift in the family at the time. And when I was in Atlanta, I received this call from Crystal and she was crying. And I mean, this is my best friend, you know, and you feel like you always want to have your best friends back. So she called me crying, saying, I'm being accused of stealing and I didn't do this. And they just see that a lot of money has been spent, but they don't realize that the reason that the credit card is so high is because I'm paying all of the bills. I'm paying the energy bill. I'm paying the mortgage. I'm doing all of this. This is why the bill seems so high, but nobody wants to listen to me. And they just want to misunderstand me. And she also said, and I did spend a little too much at Dillard's one day. She said, but you know how this family member is. They'll tell you to go get anything you want sometimes. And I just spent too much one day at the mall, but she had told me that I could. And honestly, that kind of tracked. My family member was like that. She was very giving. There would be times where before school would start, she would give me her card and say, I want you to go get at least $500 worth of school clothes, you know, and she was just a very giving person, but that is very different than $300 to $400,000.
Yeah. I can't even comprehend that.
No, I'm like, that's an outrageous amount of money. And I mean, it was honestly just crazy spending. It was daily Starbucks. They had so many subscription, like Chewy boxes. They had clothing subscriptions getting mailed to them. Yeah. They were also getting a maid service get sent to their personal house. They eventually moved out and a maid was coming and cleaning their house on my family member's card. And they eventually moved to Baltimore for her husband's work. And while they were even living in a different state, they were still using her card and living off of her.
So it was just like a matter of like, yeah, maybe a couple of times this family member was like, yeah, you can use this to buy, like use my card for whatever. But then it started taking advantage of it and like really just like taking it for whatever they needed and lying, knowing that this person has dementia, like, oh, they're not going to realize, they're not going to look at this. And then completely blowing up in their face.
Absolutely. And the reason that it finally ever came out was somebody had, or my family member, her husband had asked, can you look into our money? I feel like people keep telling us we're broke. People keep telling us we need to be careful with our money, but we don't leave the house. Why are we broke? So finally, somebody looked into it and then they uncovered all of this theft. And there was an hour-long conversation that we actually have recorded. That's why I feel so safe talking about it too, is we have my family members recorded saying we never gave her permission to spend like that. We thought that she was only spending for us. We didn't understand that she was spending like this on the card. So yeah, realizing that I had been lied to that entire time, I think because I was in Atlanta, people just didn't want to get involved and tell me. In hindsight, I wish people had told me. I had no idea that it was that bad. I was under the impression that, oh no, she went on a shopping spree and people are mad, but nobody told me, hey, that's not true. Actually, she stole a lot of money. And it ended up coming out, okay, going back to the wedding, she also pulled another con on my bachelorette. So it's so ridiculous. Like, it's just a pattern of behavior. So there was another situation where we went to Howl at the Moon, which is this really fun piano bar for the bachelorette. And it's always super packed and it's hard to get a table on the weekends. So we wanted to reserve two tables, and I think it was around $260. Mm-hmm. And it was going to be split between five girls. So my maid of honor, Crystal, had sent out a text saying, here is how much it's going to cost. If everybody can Venmo me, I think it was around $56. Everybody Venmo me $56 for your portion of this. And then once I found the wedding alcohol scam, I started going back to all these other statements. And I saw that that was also on the card and that she had never paid for the health of
it. So she's trying to make money off of it, but she didn't pay herself.
And she did. She made money off of all of my friends and family because we sent her money for that and she pocketed it. So it was just a pattern of behavior. So then we started looking into it even more and found out that not only had she done that all those years before, but she was still doing it now. Not to the same degree because she had been caught before. So I think she was trying to be a bit more careful. But there were so many times where, for example, there was one where it was like zoo reimbursement and the receipts added up to $300 and she got a $400 check in reimbursement.
So trying to get like little increments to like cover it up.
And they were buying gift cards. That I went full investigator mode at this point. This was my entire personality for about 6 months. Because I was like, this is my friendship on the line. Yes. I want to know what type of person this is. So yeah, I went full investigator. I ended up going to Walmart. I went to Target. I went to Lowe's. And I asked for receipts because I could see how much was being spent, but I didn't know what was being spent. Mm-hmm. And when I did that, I found that they were buying Visa gift cards. So it was a way for them to get cash and it looked like a legitimate purchase for groceries and it wasn't. So they came up with all sorts of creative ways to scam.
That is wild. I feel like someone like that is always looking at opportunities to like con or make money off of people. Like as soon as you said the bachelorette thing, I was like, I've heard similar stories where people... Not quite like that where they have someone else's card, but it's like maybe it wasn't as much as they said it was. Like maybe it was only 30 a person, but they're charging everyone 50 a person. They're like, oh, well, they're putting in tip and all this stuff. And that's why it's so hard to like trust people. And I'm sure that's why you kind of then racked your brain. And you're like, wait, this is someone that's been in my life for so long. What else have they lied about? I feel like you probably would just go through all these memories and being like, okay, what can I trust with them?
I know. Absolutely. That is what it was like. And honestly, the more I looked into it, like there's so much more and it's darker, you know, that I did discover things about her that she had lied about for years and years. And yeah, just realizing I never knew her was really quite crazy. And she was just very defensive. She refused to apologize. And I went to therapy. I wrote her, you know, because at the time I was still a pretty strong Christian and I was trying to really believe in forgiveness. So I was like, okay, I'm going to write her this letter with my therapist and I'm going to say, hey, I could forgive you if you admitted all of this. Like maybe you feel backed into a corner. Maybe you feel ashamed. Maybe you feel all of these things. So I wrote her a letter and I said, you know, the only way I could ever move forward because I am the godmother to her son too. I mean, it's, it's very sad, you know, and I would need you to admit all of these things and actually apologize for it and stop making excuses. And she wrote back this very gaslighty letter saying, well, it's not my fault that I was her favorite.
Oh my God.
It was crazy. And it was like, oh, well, you just don't understand her like I do. And I'm like, I do, actually. I do. So, and we have her on tape saying that she had no idea, along with her husband, who didn't have dementia as severely as she did, you know? So yeah, it was crazy. So at that point we had to cut ties.
And it's way different than like, it's all bad, but it's like way different than like someone, you know, giving the credit card and she going to buy some stuff and sneak some stuff in for herself or whatever, but then also blatantly lying and trying to double up on that and being like, you owe me this, you know? So it's like to never admit that, because that was going to be my next question is, did she ever actually admit to like being wrong or doing something, or is she just in denial that she's innocent?
Yeah, she basically said, well, she wanted me to have these things. And she acts very, I don't know if you've ever met someone like this who acts kind of childlike. They kind of play dumb, like, oh my gosh. So she would just say, I'm just so bad with money. I'm so bad with money. And I think when I knew that that was not true, and I absolutely knew that she was being diabolical, was when I saw that every single bank account had been drained, because she had kind of claimed, well, I just thought that they were super rich. I thought that they were okay with me having this and that they wanted to spoil me. But we know that that's not the truth, because every bank account was going to zero. And actually, before they moved to Baltimore, they specifically drained every single account before their move. So that was the final account that got drained, and it was timed to the week that they moved. So calculated. Obviously, you knew what you were doing. And then when they moved to Baltimore, they were still using their income that would still come in, you know, for themselves. Wow. But yeah, no, she never apologized for that. Just saying, you know, I'm sorry, I'm bad with money.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that's good enough.
You're well into your 30s, I'm assuming, or something, you know, for maybe 40s. But at that point, it's like, you can't just use that as an excuse. You have to be able to own up to that. You're not like 15 years old or in elementary school, you know, whatever, where you're like, oh, I really don't understand how money works or how credit cards work. It's like, no, take responsibility. You know what you are doing.
Yeah. But I think a lot of it came down to the fact that there were so many enablers around her, because I lost, and that was what went viral in my post, was the fact that I lost half of my bridal party in this situation because they were closely connected to her and they didn't even want to hear it. I said, you know, I have binders of evidence. I will break down for you every single thing. And if you look at this binder and you look at this evidence and you tell me that she did nothing wrong, okay, we'll agree to disagree. But they wouldn't even look at it. They said, I'm not interested in seeing
That's
what you have.
Wild.
I know. And it just
be curious.
Blind loyalty was so crazy. And that's when I started to realize that a lot of people had been profiting off of these family members for years. And it's actually, this is a very depressing, I mean, it's sad that it ended this way, but both of them have since passed. Mm-hmm. And right before she passed away, they actually tried to get a fake will signed.
Oh yeah. My gosh, they're ruthless.
Ruthless. And it was a collaborative effort. It wasn't just my maid of honor, Crystal. It was these other people who were in my bridal party. They all knew about it. And
they're helping.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it was crazy. And in this will, they had written an original will about 20 years ago because they have businesses and it's a big deal, you know, and they had spent time with lawyers. This will was, oh my gosh, huge, super thick will, very detailed. And these people and Crystal tried to go and find a will off of Google. Like, it looked so fake and it was a couple pages long, and it gave them the house and it gave them, I think, an extra $500,000, and they had her sign it when she was so at that point.
They actually had her sign it?
They did. They brought a notary to the house. Like,
and were their
up.
Lawyers like, no, this is BS. This isn't a real thing.
Yeah. I mean, they did have a notary go out there and do all that, but they fought about that in court. The siblings, you know, they fought about that in court and it got thrown out. The judge was like, that's not a legitimate will, especially when we know she had dementia, and especially when we have a very legitimate thick will over here that they obviously put a lot of time into. Mm-hmm. And for you to have them sign it, you know, they really didn't fight to have their will verified either. They kind of realized, okay, we tried, it didn't work, nobody's buying it, and
yeah,
they dropped it. But it just shows that so many people were willing to take advantage of these people. Uh-huh. And yeah, so that's how I lost half of my bridal party, including the person who married us, which was very sad. One of our groomsmen actually performed the wedding because he was my best friend and we don't talk to him. So we have all of these wedding pictures, and now half of these people I don't even talk to anymore.
It's crazy to start off by like, the maid of honor did this, but it's, the other people are so easily convinced because it's like, did she promise them money too? Did she promise all these things? So they're like, oh, what are you talking about? She's great. I'm not even going to like look at the evidence or the facts. I feel like I'd have such a hard time trusting after that. You know, it's like all these people that you've like have memories with, you have relationships with, and then they just like lie. And we always talk about on here, like how the focus is like wedding stories and stuff like that. But when you talked about how they had since passed, we talk about how weddings bring out, you know, people's true colors, how the stress gets to people power over like others, you know, but so do funerals. Death brings out the true colors in a lot of people too, because they see it as dollar signs or what am I going to get from this person? I think it's so sad when fights happen at like funerals, because it's like all they care about is, what if this person leave me? And it's like, that's not what we should be focusing on right now. But someone like that, that's the first thing that comes to their mind.
Absolutely. And I mean, there were so many times this made me so upset. Crystal would say, she told me that she wanted me to have the house. And I'm like, you're not her child. You know, like, that's so inappropriate. I don't know why you think you're owed this, but she really felt like she was owed all of their money. And she would say things to me, like in hindsight, I think I was, you know, that's some of the darker stuff, but I was groomed by her. But there are things that she would say growing up that I start to realize were not okay, where she would say, you know, I've realized if you spend time with this family member, they give you more money. She straight up said that to me when I was younger. And I understand that that is her personality to do that. So it was very hard going to the funeral. I agree that weddings and funerals really bring out that in people. I had to sit in the front row and watch her give a eulogy for this person.
Knowing all this.
Yeah, we both gave eulogies and I had to sit there and, you know, at this point, okay, well, half of the people here are defending because they're also profiting. And I just have to sit here and respect my family member's funeral and try to avoid this person as much as possible. But my hope is to never see her again.
That was probably the last kind of event that you had to both be at, right? Hopefully.
Yeah. We live in the same city though. So I get scared. I mean, when I go to Barnes and Noble or when I go to places where we all lived on the same side of town. So it doesn't feel outrageous that I might run into some of them at some point. And it does give me a lot of anxiety.
Yeah.
Because they're not happy that I've shared on social media.
Sure. Because people like that want to live in their like delusions that it's what they did isn't wrong. And they'll convince themselves till the day they die that they're not wrong. They deserve what they did. And it's like you said, like they make up stories. They're like, I deserve this house. They told me I deserve the house. And they're going to keep telling themselves that because that's what's going to make them feel good about it.
And I'm like, she might believe it. I don't know. She's so delusional. I don't know. I don't know what she really thinks, but it's definitely wild.
Wow. That is one of the top wild stories I have heard on here. Oh my gosh. Thanks for sharing that. Oh my gosh. That's wild.
That is a lot for sure.
Well, I'm glad to hear too that you've gone to like therapy from it and like hopefully have healed from some part of that. I'm sure that's like a lot because I can't imagine someone treating me like that you had so closely in your life. And so I think talking about it too and sharing your story, I'm sure has helped many people relate and connect as well.
It has, because I think hearing so many of their excuses and them not even wanting to look at it, you feel like you're going crazy. I felt like I was being so gaslit. You guys, this is insane. This is a lot of money. This is not okay. And sharing on TikTok and seeing people defend or, I don't know, back me up and say, no, you're not crazy. That is wild. And there was like a lot of religious manipulation as well from them saying that I should just forgive and move on without her even like apologizing or admitting what she did. We just need to move on. Jesus would not want us to fight, you know, which is just crazy, you know, the fact that they would like to use that. And I have nothing against Christians and Jesus. I actually don't share what I believe personally, if anyone was wondering. But yeah, I don't know. It was just crazy to see religion kind of weaponized in that way. So it is nice going on social media and people telling me, hey, that's actually okay that you never want to see her again. That is valid.
Yeah. I feel like that's that people pleaser mentality too. I grew up such a people pleaser because it was like, you just have to forgive everybody no matter how they treat you. And it was like, you could never just be like, nope, cut that person out. No, they didn't mean it that way. And so I would always try to see the good in every person. And I believe in seeing the good in people, but there are just some people that are inherently not good. And we shouldn't waste our time trying to build them up when they're just going to be bad to us. You know what I mean? Kind of said that kind of weird, but I feel like so much of my childhood was like, no, they're good. They did this and this and this to me, but like, they're still a good person. And it's like, no, you don't have to believe that.
No, there are bad people. I think growing up, I always thought that too. I just thought everybody is a good person. Everybody's doing their best. Sometimes people make mistakes. And unfortunately, I feel like the older I get, I realize, you know, there are wonderful people in this world. Most people are good people, I hope. But there definitely are people who just don't care. They just really do not care. And nothing brings that out more than social media. Seeing comments and stuff, I'm like, wow, there are some just crazy people in this world who they just want to hurt people. And I think learning to put up boundaries in a healthy way has been a big part of my healing.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. Boundaries has been huge. We talk about that a lot here.
Hey, drama lovers, big news. My book, Here Comes the Drama, A Ferris and Sloan Story, is officially out now. If you've been following their wild wedding saga online, this is the full story.
packed with messy twists, sharp banter, family chaos, and all the heart you've come to love. And judging by your messages and posts, you're loving it too. Huge thanks to everyone who's already grabbed a copy early and shared it on social media. Your support means everything. If you haven't read it yet, now is the time. Head to KristaEnnis.com/book or click the link in the show notes. It's available in both print and ebook. Grab your copy before the spoilers start showing up in the comment sections, because trust me, you'll want to experience every jaw-dropping moment for yourself. Okay, so before we get to this week's follower submission, we're going to do a little red flag, green flag. So I'm going to read a statement. This is wedding party edition. And just say if it's a red flag or a green flag. Okay. Ask if they can bring a plus one you've never met.
Ooh. Oh no, I'm going to be like a yellow flag. I think it depends on your relationship. I think if this was my best friend, I would probably say maybe we could have a game night in advance. That way you could meet them, you know, especially if you feel like it's going to be a long-term relationship. But I guess in theory, a red flag. If you're just a casual family member or a distant friend, yeah, I don't think you should bring us one. Yeah. Or insist on it.
And I feel like I've always heard too, like, I agree with the relationship thing, because you kind of know like how close you are with someone. I've always heard like not to ask for one. I remember being invited to weddings like young, like early 20s, where like I wasn't dating anybody and I didn't get a plus one. I would never would have been like, hey, can I bring a plus one? And then other times I would be going to a wedding, not expecting one, I would get one. I was like, okay, I'll just ask a friend or something, you know. So makes passive aggressive comments about the bachelorette cost.
Ooh, red flag. Red flag. I think if you have issues with the cost, or if you genuinely can't afford it, there are ways to have like healthy communication as far as like, hey, I'm actually broke. Can I pick some of these activities and not all of them, unless somebody's willing to help with the cost? But passive aggressive comments, definitely a red flag.
Yes. Let's just communicate. Tries to change the vibe of the bachelorette weekend.
Ooh, red flag. Yeah. I think you have to go with what the bride wants, whatever their vibe is. There was that guy who pulled the con with the wedding alcohol. He was at the bachelorette. We did a joint one. And he ended up like doing this weird drinking game where he took a deck of cards and he would say, do you think it's going to be a red or a black card? And then we would do it. And he'd say, wrong, drink. It was so weird. We're not those kind of people. We're not like, take a shot kind of people. And he was trying to change the vibe and we were very uncomfortable. So red flag.
You're like, immediate red flag. Yeah.
I was like, this game isn't even fun.
Post wedding details before the couple does.
Ooh, red flag. That is for the couple.
Yeah. I just read a story where the bride's boss announced that the girl was engaged before the girl did and started inviting herself to the wedding. I was like, I can't wait to make this.
Very presumptuous for like a coworker or boss to think that they're invited, because I don't think I invited any of my coworkers to my wedding.
I did.
Mind you, I have my own office, so we don't work that closely. I probably would if we, you know.
I think it depends on the job for sure, because yeah, when I got married, my husband, I think, only invited one person from his work, because he at the time was a general manager of a restaurant. He's like, we have way too many people. Some I never work with, some I work with different areas. So he like invited one, and then I worked in a small office where we were like all close knit, like family. And so I invited like 20 with their plus ones. But yeah, I think it really just depends on your job. And you should never feel like you are going to automatically be invited to a coworker's wedding, because it just depends on your relationship.
And micro weddings are a thing. You know, I feel like weddings are getting smaller and smaller because we're all broke, you know.
Yes.
So I would never assume that I'm being invited, even if we're like decent friends, you know.
Yes.
Who knows?
Yeah, I feel like that's one thing, like in my early 20s, again, when I wasn't dating anyone seriously, that I did not understand. I had friends that would just get like married with just family. And I was like, what? I don't get it. Like, because every wedding I'd been to were like these big weddings or like a lot of people invited. And you almost were like, you can't take it personal, because you're just like, no. My one friend that did it, like, she was just never one to be like, all eyes on me. Please do not. I just want to get married and be done with it. And I was like, okay, that, looking back, I'm like, that makes sense.
It's her personality.
Yes. Misses the rehearsal, but shows up hungover on the wedding day.
Oh, red flag. That's so mean. I would understand if you had something going on, but if you were out partying instead of going to the rehearsal, that's not nice. And honestly, the rehearsal is such a beautiful time, because a lot of the time that's when they do the toast. It's very heartfelt. And I would feel very sad if anybody in my bridal party missed my rehearsal.
Yeah.
If they didn't have a reason.
Right. Yeah. Let's see. I think we had a couple that couldn't make the rehearsal because of one just had a new baby and then one's flight was delayed. But other than that, yeah, I think most everyone came. And I tell people too, I'm like, it's not the end all be all, like if something came up, but yeah, you always try to be there. Turns every group chat convo back to themselves.
Ooh, red flag. I've known people like this where it just goes back to them. It's like you try so hard to involve everybody and like, let's talk about this person now. And it's like, no, it just somehow gets turned back into like their life or their drama 24/7.
Yes, yes. All right, last one says, I'm just being honest before being rude.
No, I hate that so much, red flag. That is not an excuse. That reminds me of Taylor Swift, casually cruel in the name of being honest, you know?
Yes.
Not okay.
It's that or the, I was just joking after saying something.
You're so sensitive. Oh my goodness.
gosh, that was probably like one of the most common things I've heard to me growing up. You're just sensitive. You're so sensitive.
To be fair, I am. So,
but yeah, then you learn later. You're like, I'm proud of being sensitive. Yes. I'm an empath. I'm in tune with my emotions.
I would like to think I'm a good person because I am very sensitive.
Yes. I know. I'm like, why were we taught that it was like a bad thing to be like emotional or sad? I feel like that's just like one of those like patriarchal things where it's like, oh, don't show your emotions. Like you need to hide it. Don't cry. Don't do this. So whenever like if my daughter who's almost three, when she shows emotion, I'm like, it's okay to be sad. Are you frustrated? Are you angry? Do you need space? Trying to be that like overly that. Like, I think that's
feel
one thing.
Your millennial inner child.
Yes. I think that's one thing millennial parents are like doing better than like the generation. Again, not critiquing the previous one, but I feel like it was very just, we always try to like improve the previous generation. And I feel like we were told a lot, don't cry, don't be emotional. And I always try to like hide my tears if I was upset. And I'm like, no, you own that emotion. It's fine. Let's name it.
No, I was such an emotional kid. I don't even know why I was so emotional. But I think when I was in first grade, my teacher actually came up to me and said, I'm going to make a calendar and mark every day that you cry and show it to your mom.
Oh my God.
To be fair, I was a very emotional kid, but I was like, oh, okay, don't cry anymore, you know, or else she's going to go tell my mom.
Was she saying it like in a mean way or like?
Yes. Yes. In a mean way. I'm going to mark it down. But just to be fair, I was bullied because I had an afro when I was a kid and the kids used to call me cotton ball. They were so mean.
Kids are ruthless.
They are ruthless. Yeah. But it's okay. I forgive them. They were children, but.
Oh my gosh. I had a kid one time tell someone that I looked like a chipmunk because of my big front teeth.
Oh my gosh, no.
But I was so proud of myself because looking back, so like in elementary, I was really shy and this was in high school and I was friends with a girl that was like cooler than me. Like she was like friends with everybody and I was just like, oh my gosh, I'm friends with her because I was like really like shy. And she was talking to these boys and this boy said it to her, something about like chipmunk, and she came in and told me and I go, you think I look like a chipmunk? And I like called him out and then he was embarrassed. So I was like, yeah, so don't do that.
Good for you. That's like the epitome of what an odd thing to say.
Yes. Yeah. What a weird thing to say out loud.
Yeah. Repeat it.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay, let's get into this week's follower submission. So these are real stories people send me. So let's just react as we go. Okay. I met the bride through mutual friends, the kind of friendly, magnetic girl who seemed to pull people into her orbit. She was newly engaged, excited, and quickly invited me to be in her inner circle. Her fiance and their two best guy friends, Matt and Bill, before long were all hanging out constantly. Somehow, without realizing it, I became the person she relied on the most. She knew I sewed, and weddings are expensive. So when she admitted she was stressed about her budget, I offered to make her bridesmaid dresses for free. I genuinely wanted to help. This is like the case of the people pleaser with like the, I don't know what you would call the other person, like the energy, like vampires.
Sucker. Yes. Oh my gosh, that's so much work. I can't even imagine.
I can't imagine making one, let alone however many bridesmaids she had.
And tailoring all of those to the bridesmaids. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh. She must have brought it up a lot in front of this girl to be like, okay, I'll make them. I'll make all these dresses.
Oh, you sew? Oh, well, I'm having the hardest time. Yes. What am I going to do? You know? Which, I mean, hey, that's kind of how Crystal was. Crystal was the type of person where she would like, going back to like the theft and everything, she would say, well, she would offer. And it's like, yeah, she has dementia. And if you go up to her and say, oh my gosh, I have no money. I have no whatever. You know, it was very much that type of situation where if you go and whine about your problems like loud enough, then obviously her being like a good Christian woman, she was going to offer to give you.
Right. There's those kinds of people that's how they were raised. It's like you help someone in need, right? Then there's the people that take advantage of those people because they're like, oh, they're not going to tell me no. Like,
yeah, I'll have a convenient breakdown around the person who has something I want.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. Okay. So then within days, the warning signs started popping up. Her aunt, who had flown in from overseas, suddenly decided she wanted to take over making the dresses, despite not knowing how to sew properly. Shocked to absolutely no one, the dresses fell apart. How did that work? Like, if the one girl's like, I'm going to sew all these dresses, and it's like, JK, like, I'm going to do it.
It's like, why would you volunteer for that? To me, that sounds like a nightmare. If I found out that somebody else was handling that, I'd be like, thank you for doing that. I don't want to do
like
that.
Like a control thing or something. But I'd also, as a bride, be like, no, my friend's got it. She knows what she's doing.
Yeah.
Oh, this is weird. The bride came back to me in tears, begging me to fix everything. And then came the kicker. She said, as a payment for making all the dresses, she'd make me a bridesmaid. Wait, she wasn't even a bridesmaid at this point.
Because people are dying to be bridesmaids. Okay, I don't know. Like,
I thought this whole time she was a bridesmaid.
I know. To do all of that work and not even be a bridesmaid.
Yeah.
Wow. I feel like when you accept being a bridesmaid, you understand that you're going to get delegated something. A couple tasks, you know, or something like that. But to do all of that when she hasn't known her that long.
Yeah.
She hasn't known her that long. All the bridesmaids, that's like not even something I would ever be able to do. I would rather help pay for the bridesmaids' dresses than to make them myself.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. You don't want me making a bridesmaid dress. That thing would fall apart. Also, like, the whole thing is kind of odd to me. I mean, there's more. But anyone that says, as payment, you can be a bridesmaid is, in my mind, already going to be a bridezilla because they think it's an honor to be a bridesmaid. Yes. And yes, like, close friends of mine would say, you know, like, oh, I would love to be by your side. Of course, like, if that mutual relationship. But if someone says it as, like, a gift, I'm doing you a favor to be a bridesmaid in my royal wedding. That just says red flag to me.
Yeah. And it also implies that your relationship was not good enough in the first place for you to be a bridesmaid and you're getting this as payment. Like, I don't understand how that's supposed to feel good.
Yeah. It
feels bad to me.
Right. It's like you can't even pay her for the cost of the fabric she's getting, her time. I don't know. I told her that meant she'd have to pick only one of her guy friends to be a groomsman, which I thought wasn't fair. I don't know why that would be. But she shrugged and said, oh, that's fine. I never wanted Matt in the wedding anyway. So you have to say yes. I should have run then. God, I should have run. A few weeks later, she wouldn't stop complaining about not having a venue for her bridal shower. She knew my parents lived on a 1-acre property. And she dropped a hint after hint after hint until I was uncomfortable. I feel like I see a lot of similarities with the person that you know. I just feel like trying to take advantage of somebody to get what they want.
No, that's so uncomfortable. It sounds like she made her the bridesmaid so that she could get all this stuff from her.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly. Okay. Going back to Crystal. I mean, I wish I had picked up on it sooner, but she would often have friends for about a year or two, and then they would have a falling out. And it was always, oh, she was crazy. Or, okay, I can't believe I didn't even get into how crazy Crystal was. Okay, she would also say that everybody was in love with her, that she used to be very careful about like being around men because any man would cheat on their wife with her.
Oh my gosh.
She also said that if she just tried, she would be able to be a Peloton instructor. And then she was like, I'll be a little as Lulu as Crystal.
I think we can.
She would say, I would try out for American Idol, but I would win. You know, and I don't want to be famous. So she was just a very high sense of self. And I think like growing up with her after knowing somebody like that, since you're 12 years old, you just kind of think that that's normal. And I honestly think that's why I ended up with my crazy narcissistic ex was I was so used to grandiose, odd behavior from people around me that it just like, he was the same. He thought he was going to own Disney. It's a whole thing. It's all like, of that to say, like these people, oh my gosh, they know how to get their way, you know?
Yeah. And it's like, it's that same kind of mentality of she sees her as weak over here. if I can make her a bridesmaid, make her feel included, she'll give me all the things I want for my day. And just seeing her as a dollar sign or seeing her as an opportunity. And you see that with like weddings and just friendships in general, I've seen where it's like they use you for what they need you for. And then they move along to the next person. And what you said too about Crystal saying like all these friendships, oh, they were crazy. Same goes for like, if you ever meet a guy and all their exes were crazy, probably not the exes. Just saying.
Absolutely. My ex said the same thing. He told me his ex was absolutely insane. And when we got divorced, I mean, this was just, I did a series, Did I Marry a Psychopath on TikTok? And throughout the series, I ended up reaching out to his ex and I found out the true story. And he was horrible to her and was abusive to her. So like, these people, they will lie. So, that's why I brought up Crystal saying that her friendships would only last a year or two. I'm wondering if this bride is realizing that none of her friends are coming through or if they're helping her and she's needing to recruit people to help her because, I mean, she might not be that nice and maybe her friends don't want to help.
They're all
and everybody else is fed up, but you're new. So
yes,
she's going to try.
They're in the honeymoon friend stage where everything's perfect and she's great. She said, I finally offered to ask my parents and they, being lovely, said yes. She was elated and even told me, you're welcome to invite your family to the party at their own house. Can you imagine saying that to somebody?
Your parents, out of the goodness of my heart, don't have to flee their home.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's horrible. That's insane behavior. Bridezilla.
Yeah. See, and that would give me a red flag right off the bat. But like, I don't know. Just in general, I'd be like, no, like something's
up. Like you're in so deep at this point.
Yeah. That should tell you everything you need to know about her. The night before the shower, I was supposed to finish the dresses. Instead, she and half the wedding party spent the night at my house decorating the yard. I didn't sew a single stitch. And somehow she yelled at me for not finishing the dresses. I'd be like, do them yourself. Bye.
What? She's your servant? This is so atrocious. Cut off the friendship. I assume that that's where the story is going, but
I hope so.
Wow. The audacity.
Wild. The next day, she forced Matt and Bill to act as waiters at her bridal shower, which was weird. Then in front of the entire room, she made an announcement. She was changing her maid of honor. Her sister was now her maid of honor. Her childhood best friend, Sarah, who had already been asked, was moved to the very end of the bridesmaid lineup. She's doing this in public in front of everybody. One, that's terrible. Two, I think the whole bridesmaid lineup thing is weird to be like, okay, you're number four now. Like I did mine by like height or how long I knew them for. I was not
I felt very uncomfortable trying to line people up. Luckily, a lot of my bridesmaids were family. So I felt kind of okay putting the family first because I thought my other friends would understand, but it is awkward trying to be like, and you here and sorry you're
I feel like I ultimately went by how long I knew them because like my maid of honor was first, then I had my sister, a cousin, and then I have, of course, had my husband, like sister-in-laws, and towards the end just because of like length of time, plus we just wanted them to like walk with their partner or their husband. And yeah, but I have heard of that where people are like, okay, well I'm her best friend, or I don't know.
That's, to demote somebody who is the maid of honor, that's so evil.
Yeah. And publicly, like,
did I miss why? Do we know why?
She didn't say yet.
Okay.
She goes, and I was bumped to girl number three. So she's like basically like ranking them literally in front of them. So maid of honor moved to number four. I'm guessing number four. She just says at the end of the lineup. And then the girl that wrote in was bumped to girl number three. So weird.
So strange.
I watched Sarah's face fall. She held it together until later when she called me sobbing. I listened, comforted her, and texted her afterwards. I'm so sorry you're going through this. If things get too stressful, you can always talk to me. Harmless, supportive, kind. This is going to backfire. I just know it. Except the bride somehow ended up with Sarah's phone and saw my text message. She called me screaming, accusing me of trying to steal her friend, demanding to know whose side I was on, saying she needed to reevaluate whether she even wanted me in the wedding. I would be like, bye.
Oh, I mean, what am I getting out of this dynamic right now?
Yeah.
Like nothing at this point. This is so toxic.
It feels like
this is some Regina George stuff. Yeah.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Totally. I was like, this does sound familiar. It's Regina George. It's like, I'm always on your left. Well, now you're on my last nerve. Get, you know, whatever.
It's like the calls, the three-way calls where you're trying to trick each other. That is so toxic.
Oh my God. We should have changed the names to like mean girl names. Perfect. It really is. Oh my gosh. That's wild. Unfortunately for me, she decided to keep me. And even more unfortunately, I said yes. On the big day, she transformed into a full diva. Rude to everyone, snapping at vendors, insulting bridesmaids. So this girl knew how to turn on the switch of like, I'm so fun. I'm your new friend. Let's hang out. I'm awesome. And then I feel like people like that can just flip.
I'm like transformed into a diva. I feel like she's been a diva, but I guess just turned up a ton.
Like didn't hide it anymore. Or even try to.
Oh my gosh, this groom. Can you imagine being married to this woman? I can't.
I always wonder, because I feel like we don't hear about the grooms a lot in these stories unless it's like focused on them. So I either take the back seat, like they're really quiet or just like whatever, they're doing a thing. Or I wonder if they're just as terrible and they're just like part of it. But I don't know.
Maybe.
Her mother then informed us that we had to pay for our own hair and makeup, even though I had made all the dresses for free. After the ceremony, her gown ripped. Guess who had to get down on her hands and knees and sew it? Me.
She didn't make the wedding dress, right?
Right. No, as far as I know.
Gosh.
And like, I get having like most weddings I've been a part of, there's hair and makeup there. And if you want it done, you pay for it. But I feel like as the bride, if I knew my maid of honor or like a bridesmaid made all the dresses, I'd be like, let me pay for this. How can I pay you? But it sounds like this woman just treats her as like a servant. Her sisters-in-law yelled at me to hurry up because I was holding up the reception. It's not her fault. The dress ripped. Holy cow.
You're like, fine, go out there. Have fun.
Yeah.
Go do it.
Yeah. If you can do it faster, you go ahead. Like, my God. By the time evening fell, Sarah and I ended up locked in the bridal room crying. In her speech, the bride didn't mention Sarah at all. And all she said about me was she made the bridesmaid dresses. I don't know why the bridesmaids are in the speech or what the speech is, but interesting. Yeah. After the wedding, the invites to hang out with the group became fewer, then non-existent. One night, I literally ran into all of them out together without me. I'd be like, good. When I finally confronted her, she screamed, I'm not married to you. I don't have to invite you to anything. This lady, woman, like,
so evil.
She knew what she was doing. She got what she wanted out of her, and that was dresses. That was it. She said, and that was it. Friendship over. Months later, I heard she ended up doing the same thing to Matt and Bill. I have no idea if she and Sarah ever recovered their friendship. But me, I walked away. And honestly, that was the best decision I ever made.
Oh my gosh, what a blip in your life. I'm like, what a horrible, I cannot imagine being around somebody who treats people like such dirt. And the fact that nobody stood up to her or really said, like, I feel like there is this vibe with weddings where the bride can just do whatever she wants because it's her wedding. But I feel like at a point, I would like to think that people in my life or I would have stood up to this person because that is insane. You can't treat people like that.
Well, and the fact that the mom seemed to have like some attitude too on the wedding day sounds like that's where she gets it from, the entitlement. But yeah, I just never get that like, it's my day. It's all about me. I just don't get that. I was just telling someone, I'm like, for my wedding morning, I made sure my bridesmaids were taken care of. I had breakfast for them, mimosas. Like, I remember running around making sure like they were good. What do you need? Because I was like, I just want you here with me and I want you to enjoy yourself. But I've definitely seen both sides of it where it's like there's brides that want to take care of their wedding party and there's brides that are like, it's my day. You just stand by my side. Oh my gosh. That's wild.
They're pretty much props. I mean, she was a prop and a way to get dresses, which I mean, that is so much work, you know, and it's not even how much are bridesmaids dresses, like maybe 150 or however much, you know, on top of that, it's handmade, you know, so it's worth so much more than that because of all of the hard work and the hours that she put in.
Yeah.
That is so toxic. So glad that she does not talk to her anymore.
Yeah. I think I'd be the most mad about making the dresses. Because I think if I were like a bridesmaid for a wedding where this happened, I would just look back and laugh at it. I'd be like, that was wild. Okay, moving on. But the fact that she spent so much time and really thought this person was like a friend of hers, she let her parents lent the house to them. That's just,
it's like she was trying to find ways to cut costs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because also, how do you not know where your bridal shower is going to be?
Yeah.
Leading up to it. You know what I mean? It feels like she was scoping out locations pretty much. How can I get somebody to gift this to me?
Yeah. It's like she had something planned somewhere else. And then it was like she messed up that relationship or something.
And I wouldn't be
someone
surprised.
Else. Yeah.
I feel like this happens so often, though, where friendships don't make it past the wedding or friendships just fizzle out. Yeah. So I was in that religious cult. It was not just Christianity. It was called Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry. It was super weird. People thought they could raise people from the dead. And it was like prophecy. It was insanity. But I met a girl there and she invited me to be in her wedding. And it was like, I hadn't seen her in person in over a year. We had gone back to our home states. We were not close. We would talk once every 4 months. I mean, we were not close, but I really feel like she just needed somebody else on her side. So I literally flew to Utah and I went and I was in her wedding. And during that time, I ended up getting engaged to my ex. And I felt like I had to ask her to be in mine because I was in hers, but I didn't view her as a friend, but I was in her wedding and we were engaged at the same time. So it kind of felt like, well, I can't be her bridesmaid and she not be in my wedding. So we literally were in each other's weddings and we have never seen each other again. Like, it is so random. You know, there's no bad blood. She still follows me on social media, but it's like, I mean, it was very strange and there was really no reason to be in each other's wedding.
That is so funny. That is really like common, I feel like, where if like you're in someone's wedding, you feel like you have to ask them to be in yours. My husband and I had those talks before getting married because we were like considered the wedding couple for so long because we were both in so many weddings. I think we were each in like 10 weddings or something. And we both had that discussion about like, okay, should we have this person because we were in their wedding and vice versa? And at the end of the day, I was just like, I'm going to have who I want on my side. But again, like I think if I would have gotten married like in my early 20s or something, I think it would have been way different. I think I would have been like, yes, yes, include everybody, have this person. Or if he's having his friend, I should probably have his like wife or girlfriend in it or partner. But at the end of the day, it's just like, no, people understand. No. But yeah, it's awkward when you feel like obligated to like have someone in your wedding that you're not that close with. I've definitely feel like I've been asked to be in weddings where, and I've said yes. And then I'm like, oh, I just asked because of something. And then I'm like, I don't know, maybe I shouldn't have said yes, but I don't know. I love being a part of weddings. I find stuff to do. I'm very handy. I always offer to help. And so I feel like that's seen. you know?
I'm like, I'm a good bridesmaid. I'm a good one. You know, I put in work. So I mean, yeah, I get that.
Yeah, for sure. Awesome. Well, that was a wild story. I always like to end these with confessions that people send me on Instagram. So I'll just read a couple of those and then we go. Okay. These are our biggest wedding regrets people sent me. Okay. Our photographer. He had a digital camera, but acted like he only had film. Took forever to get pictures, and he missed so many we wanted because he took forever to set up. Each shot ended up, he would take forever for a shot and ended up taking only one photo each time. So frustrating. I say it time and time again, your photographer is like one of the most important vendors. If you have a bad photographer, it could ruin it.
I know. I'm like, to me, that is one of the most important things. I'm so thankful. I had a friend who I had done photo shoots with out in Atlanta, and I actually flew her out and she gave us such a deal on it, but she's a wedding photographer. So thankfully she was incredible, but it's like, once you find a good photographer, stick with them. Just yes. Keep using them, you know?
Yes. Don't just like agree to have someone be it because they're giving it to you for free or something. Or I've seen a lot of those too. It's just go with your gut for sure. Let's see. Making my sister-in-law my matron of honor. Years later, she said she never even liked me.
Ow, that would really hurt me.
Yeah. Hiring the hairdresser I did. She made me an hour and a half late for my own wedding.
Ooh, that's another one that is super important. I got my hairdresser. Yeah, I probably should have done more research on my hairdresser. I did a trial with her and it was okay. And then on the wedding day, my hair looked completely different. Right. And I had even, the back of it looked totally different. Like the way that it had was pinned and all of it. So I showed, she had to redo it. And kid you not, I looked like Snooki. Like I had a bump. And I was horrified because that was not there in the original trial. And I was like, I'm going to walk down and look like so insane and not like myself. Yes, literally. And I also looked like a Southern beauty queen a little bit. It was very weird vibes. And thankfully, they fixed it. But I was for sure panicking on my wedding day.
Oh my gosh. I've definitely been a part of a lot of weddings where like they just hired someone, like they didn't do like the trial. And when the person comes in, it's just like, there was one wedding where I was in and I said no to hair and makeup. I was like, I'll just do it myself. And I was glad I did because everyone ended up washing off their makeup because it was like someone that had like hardly any experience. And like everyone's hair kept falling off and their eyelashes were falling off. And I had just done them myself. And I'm no professional. I'm like not great at makeup, but I just like, I don't know. I just was like, I don't want to spend a lot of money. And everyone's like eyelashes were falling off. It was not making it to the wedding at all. So it's hard. Sometimes you don't know what you're going to get until wedding day. But
yeah, I prefer, especially my hair, I prefer to do it myself because I have like such thick curly hair that they botch it most of the time.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Wow. Well, thank you so much for coming on. It was so great chatting with you and sharing your story and just diving through this wedding drama.
Thank you so much for having me. This was so much fun. It was like such a happier topic than what I'm used to. <You
know? laughs> Yes. Well, for everyone listening, can you again share where they can find more of your content, anything fun you're working on, and anything else that's coming up?
Yeah, I am at Jubilee Dawns on TikTok and on Instagram. I also have a YouTube, and my two podcasts are Healedish and The Overshare Hour.
Awesome. Well, thanks again for coming on.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks so much for tuning into this episode of Here Comes the Drama. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to rate, review, and share it with a friend who loves a good story. And make sure you're following me on all socials at Hey Krista Innes for even more stories, skits, and a little extra drama. Until next time, protect your peace, and I'll see you soon. Bye now.